Mystical City of God. Book 1, Chapter 2. God's Inscrutable Essence, the Decree of Creation. O King, most high and most wise Lord, how incomprehensible are thy judgments and inscrutable thy ways. Invincible God, enduring forever and whose beginning is unknown. Who can understand thy greatness, and who can be worthy of thy most magnificent works, or who can tell thee why thou hast created them? For thou art exalted above all of them, and our vision cannot reach thee, and our understanding cannot comprehend thee. Mayest thou be blessed, magnificent King, because thou hast deigned to show me, thy slave, and a vile worm of the earth, great sacraments and most sublime mysteries. I saw the Most High, at the same time understanding how His Majesty is in Himself. I received a clear intelligence and a true perception of what is meant by a God, infinite in His substance and attributes, eternal, exalted above all, being three in person, and one true God. Three in person because of the three activities of knowing, comprehending, and loving each other. One so as to secure the boon of eternal unity. It is the Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten, nor can he be generated or have a beginning. I perceived that the Son derives his origin from the Father alone by eternal generation, and that they are equal in their duration from eternity, and that he is begotten by the fecundity of the intelligence of the Father. The Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son through love. In their indivisible Trinity, there is nothing which can be called first or last, greater or smaller. All three persons are equally eternal and eternally equal. There is unity of essence in a Trinity of persons. Nor are the persons mingled in order to form one God, nor the divine substance separated or divided in order to form three persons, being distinct as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Ghost. They are nevertheless one and the same divinity. Equal in each is the glory and majesty, the power, the eternity, the immensity, the wisdom and sanctity, and all the attributes. And though there are three persons in whom these infinite perfections subsist, he is the one and true God, the holy, the just, the powerful, the eternal, and the measureless. I also obtained an understanding of the manner in which this Trinity comprehends itself by simple vision, so that no new or distinct cognition is necessary. The Father knows that which is known to the Son, and the Son and the Holy Ghost know that which is in the intelligence of the Father. I understood how they love one another with one and the same immense and eternal love, how there is a single, indivisible, and equal oneness of intelligence, love, and action, how there is one simple, incorporeal, and indivisible nature, a divine essence of the true God, in which are joined and united all the perfections in their highest and in an infinite degree. I learnt also to understand the quality of these perfections of the highest Lord, that he is beautiful without a blemish, great without quantity, good without need of qualification, eternal without the duration of time, strong without any weakness, living without touch of decay, true without deceit, present in all places, filling them without occupying them, existing in all things without occupying any space. There is no contradiction in his kindness, nor any defect in his wisdom. In his wisdom he is inscrutable, in his decrees he is terrible, in his judgments just, in his thoughts most hidden, in his words most true, in his works holy, in his riches affluent. To him no space is too wide, no narrowness causes restraint. His will does not vary, the sorrowful does not cause him pain. The past has not passed for him, nor does the future happen in regard to him. O eternal immensity, what illimitable expansion have I seen in thee? What vastness do I see in thy infinite being? Vision does not terminate nor ever exhaust itself in thy abyss of being. This is the unchangeable essence. the being above all other beings, the most perfect sanctity, the most constant truth. This is the infinite, the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth, glory and its cause, rest without fatigue, goodness immeasurable. I understood that the Most High was in the quiescent state of his own being, when the three persons, according to our way of understanding things, decreed to communicate his perfections as a free gift. For greater clearness, I must remark that God comprehends in himself all things by one indivisible, most simple, and instantaneous act. He does not go on from the understanding of one thing to the understanding of another like we do, distinguishing and perceiving first one thing by an act of the understanding, and after that proceeding to the knowledge of others by their connection with those already known. God knows them conjointly all at once, without, before, or after, since all are together and at once contained in the divine and uncreated knowledge and science, just as they are comprehended and enclosed in his infinite being, as in their first beginning. Although this divine knowledge is one, most simple and indivisible, nevertheless, since the things which I see are many, and since there is a certain order by which some are first and some come after, it is necessary to divide the knowledge of God's intelligence and the knowledge of his will into many instants, or into many different acts, according as they correspond to the diverse order of created things. For as some of the creatures hold their existence because of others, there is a dependence of one upon the other. Accordingly, we say that God intended and decreed this before that, the one on account of the other, and that if he had not desired or included in the science of vision the one, he would not have desired the other. But by this way of speaking, we must not try to convey the meaning that God placed many acts of intelligence or of the will. Rather, we must intend merely to indicate that the creatures are dependent on each other, and that they succeed one another. In order to be able to comprehend the manner of creation more easily, we apply the order of things as we see them objectively to the acts of the divine intelligence and will in creating them. I understood that this order comprises the following instance. Instant is God recognizing his infinite attributes and perfections together with the propensity and the ineffable inclination to communicate himself outwardly. This knowledge of God as being communicative ad extra comes first. The majesty of God, beholding the nature of his infinite perfections, their virtue and efficacy operating with magnificence, saw that it was just and most proper, and as it were a duty and a necessity, to communicate himself, and to follow that inclination of imparting and exercising his liberality and mercy, by distributing outside of himself with magnificence the plenitude of the infinite treasures contained in the divinity. For being infinite in all things, it is much more natural that he communicate gifts and graces than that fire should ascend, or the stone should gravitate toward its center, or that the sun should diffuse its light. This unfathomable depth of perfections, this affluence of treasures, this impetuous infinity of riches, is set in motion by its own inclinations to communicate itself. At the same time, God is in himself conscious that to distribute gifts and graces is not to diminish his riches, but to increase them in the only way possible, by giving an outlet to the inexhaustible fountain of his riches. In this enlightenment and knowledge which I possess, two things hold my lukewarm heart in wonder and inflame it unto annihilation. The first is the inclination and urgent desire which I see in God, and the strong will to communicate his divinity and the treasures of his grace. The second is the unspeakable and incomprehensible immensity of the good gifts which I see he wishes to distribute according to this degree, assigning them for this purpose and yet remaining infinite, as if he had yet given nothing. In this desire and inclination which fills his majesty, I see him prepared to sanctify, justify, overwhelm with gifts and perfections all creatures together and each one in particular for itself. He would be ready to give to each of the creatures more than what is held by all the angels and seraphim together, even if all the drops in the ocean and the grains of sand on their shores, all the stars, the planets, and the elements, and all creatures were capable of reason and of his gifts, they would receive them without measure, provided they would dispose themselves and place no obstacle toward receiving them. O fearful malice of sin, which alone is capable of holding up the impetuous stream of such great and eternal gifts! The second instant was to confirm and determine the object and intention of this communication of the divinity, ad extra, namely, that it should redound to his greater glory and to the exaltation of his majesty and the manifestation of his greatness. This his own exaltation God saw as the end, for which he would communicate himself, make himself known by his liberality in the distribution of his attributes, and set in motion his omnipotence in order that he might be known, praised, and glorified. The third instant consisted in selecting and determining the order and arrangement or the mode of this communication, so as to realize in an adequate manner the most exalted ends. The order, namely, which it is proper should be maintained in regard to the communications of the Godhead and its divine attributes, so that this activity of the Lord may have its proper reasons and objects, and so that it might proceed with the most beautiful and admirable sequence, harmony, and subordination. In this instant was decreed, first of all, that the divine word should assume flesh and should become visible. The perfection and the composition of the most holy humanity of Christ our Lord was decreed and modeled in the divine intelligence. Secondarily, also were formed the ideals of the rest of men in imitation of the first. The divine mind prearranged the harmony and adornment of the human nature, composed of an organic body and a vivifying soul, endowed with faculties to know and enjoy its Creator, to discern between good and evil, and with a free will to love that same Lord. The fourth instant was to determine the gifts and graces which were to be conferred upon the humanity of Christ our Lord in union with the divinity. Here the Most High opened the liberal hands of him, his omnipotence and his other attributes, in order to enrich the most sacred humanity and the soul of Christ with the highest possible plenitude of his gifts and graces. Then was fulfilled what afterward David said, "The stream of the river maketh the city of God joyful." When the stream of his gifts flowed toward the humanity of the Word, communicating to it all the infused science, the grace, and goodness of which his blessed soul was capable, and which fitted that being, which was to be God and true man, and at the same time the head of all creatures capable of grace and glory, in order that from this impetuous stream they might partake in the manner in which it afterwards really happened. To this instant also, and as it were in natural sequence, pertain the decree and predestination of the Mother of the Divine Word Incarnate. For here, I understand, was ordained that pure creature before aught else whatever. Thus, before all other creatures, was she conceived in the divine mind, in such manner and such state as befitted and became the dignity, excellence, and gifts of the humanity of her most holy Son. To her flowed over at once and immediately the river of the divinity and its attributes with all its impetuosity, in as far as a mere creature is capable, and as is due to the dignity of the Mother of God. In the knowledge of these exalted mysteries and decrees, I confess myself ravished in admiration and transported beyond my proper self. Perceiving this most holy and pure creature formed and conceived in the divine mind from the beginning and before all the ages, I joyously and exultingly magnify the Omnipotent for the admirable and mysterious decree by which he formed for us such a pure and grand, such a mysterious and godlike creature, worthy rather to be admired and praised by all beings than to be described by any one. In my admiration, I can say with St. Dionysius, the Areopagite, if faith would not instruct me, and if the understanding of what I see would not teach me, that it is God who has conceived her in his mind, and who alone could and can in his omnipotence form such an image of his divinity, if this all were not present to my mind, I might begin to doubt whether the Virgin Mother contain not in herself divinity. Oh, what tears flowed from my eyes, and what sorrowful astonishment possessed my soul, to see that divine prodigy not acknowledged, and that wonder of the Most High not manifest to all the mortals. Much is known of it, but much more is unknown, as this sealed book has not been opened. I am ravished in the perception of this tabernacle of God, and I perceive that the author of it is more admirable in her creation than in that of all the rest of the world, although the diversity of the creatures manifests the wonderful power of their Creator. In this queen alone are comprehended and contained more treasures than in all the rest of things joined together, and the variety and the preciousness of her riches honor the Lord above all the multitudes of the other creatures. Here, according to our way of understanding, the promise and, as it were, the contract was made with the Word as to the degree of sanctity and perfection and the gifts and graces which were to be possessed by Mary, his mother. Also as to the protection, support, and defense which was to be provided for this true city of God, in which His Majesty contemplated the graces and merits which she earned for herself, as well as the fruits to be gathered for His people by the loving returns which she was to make to His Majesty. In the same instant, and as it were in the third and last place, God determined to create a locality and an abode where the incarnate Word and His Mother should converse and dwell. For them primarily did He create the heaven and the earth, with its stars and elements and all that is contained in them. Secondarily, the intention and decree included the creation of the members of which Jesus was to be the head, and of whom He would be the King, in order that with kingly providence all the necessary and befitting arrangements might be made beforehand. I pass over to the fifth instant, although in reality I found that which I sought. In this fifth decree, the creation of the angelic nature, which is more excellent and more like unto the spiritual being of the divinity, was determined upon, and at the same time the division or arrangement of the angelic hosts into 9 choirs and 3 hierarchies was provided and decreed. As they are created first of all for the glory of God, to assist before His divine majesty and to know and love Him, so secondarily they are ordained to assist, glorify and honor, reverence and serve the deified humanity of the eternal Word, recognizing Him as head, and honoring Him also in His Mother, the Most Holy Mary, Queen of these same angels. Commission was given to these angels to bear them up in their hands in all their ways. In this instant Christ our Lord earned for them by His infinite merits, present and foreseen, all the grace which they were to receive. He was constituted as their head, exemplar, and supreme King, of whom they should be subjects. Even if the number of angels had been infinite, the merits of Christ our highest good would be abundantly sufficient to supply them all with grace. To this instant belongs also the predestination of the good and the reprobation of the bad angels. God saw in it, by means of His infinite science, all the works of the former and of the latter and the propriety of predestinating, by His free will and by His merciful liberality, those that would obey and give honor, and of reprobating by His justice those who would rise up against His Majesty in pride and disobedience on account of their disordered self-love. In the same instant also was decreed the creation of the empyrean heaven, for the manifestation of his glory and the reward of the good. Also the earth and other heavenly bodies for the other creatures. Moreover also in the center or depth of the earth, hell, for the punishment of the bad angels. In the sixth instant was decreed the creation of a people and congregation of men for Christ, who was already formed in the divine mind and will, and according to whose image and likeness man was to be made, in order that the incarnate Word might find brethren, similar but inferior to himself, and a people of his own nature, of whom he might be the head. In this instant was determined the order of the creation of the whole human race, which was to begin from one man and woman, and propagate itself until the Virgin and her Son should be born in the predestined order. On account of the merits of Christ our Savior, the graces and gifts were prearranged, and also original justice, if they would only preserve it. The fall of Adam was foreseen, and in him that of all others, except of the queen, who did not enter into this decree. As a remedy, it was ordained that the most holy humanity should be capable of suffering. The predestined were chosen by free grace, and the foreknown were reprobated with exact justice. All that was convenient and necessary for the conservation of the human race, and for obtaining the end of the redemption and the predestination, was preordained, without interfering with the free will of men, for such ordainment was more conformable to God's nature and to divine equity. There was no justice done to them, for if with their free will they could sin, so also could they abstain from sin by means of grace and the light of reason. God violated the right of no one, since he forsook no one, nor denied to any one that which is necessary. Since his law is written in the hearts of men, nobody is excused for not knowing and loving him as the highest good of all creation. In the perception of these mysteries, I saw with great clearness and force the high motives which caused God to manifest and magnify himself, and which should induce men to praise and adore the greatness of the Creator and Redeemer of all. I also saw how tardy they are in the acknowledgment of these obligations and in making return for these benefits, and I was made aware of the complaints and the indignation of the Most High on account of this forgetfulness. His Majesty commanded and exhorted me not to be guilty of such ingratitude, but to offer him a sacrifice of praise and a new song, and that I magnify him in the name of all creatures. O Most High and incomprehensible Lord, would that I had the love and the perfections of all the angels and the just in order to confess and praise worthily thy greatness. I acknowledge, great and mighty Lord, that such a vile creature as I cannot merit the memorable benefit of receiving this clear and exalted knowledge and light concerning thy exalted majesty. At the sight of thy greatness I perceive my littleness, which before that happy hour was unknown to me, and I was ignorant of the greatness and excellence of the virtue of humility, which is learnt in this science. I do not wish to say that I now possess that virtue, but neither can I deny that I have been shown the certain path which leads to it. Thy light, O Most High Lord, illumines me, and thy lamp shows me the paths, so that I see what I have been and what I am, and fear what I may become to be. Thou hast lighted up, Most High King, my understanding, and inflamed my will with its most exalted object.